Well, once upon a time in Australia, menstrual products were taxed as non-essential goods.
Rallies have been held around Australia this afternoon calling for the removal of GST on women's sanitary items.
It took almost two decades of campaigning until 2018 when there was a political breakthrough.
We have agreed to remove the GST from feminine hygiene products. Common sense has prevailed.
Among the chorus of voices to dump the so-called tampon tax was my next guest, who remains a leader in helping to improve access to menstrual products around Australia and to normalise conversations around menstruation. Rochelle Courtenay is the founder of the charity Share the Dignity and is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. Rochelle, welcome.
Good morning.
This was a big political battle, and I remember around GST time, my colleagues and I back then did so many interviews, more than we ever thought about tampons with politicians at that time. How much of a fight was it?
It was a huge fight, but I cannot believe that we even had to have that fight. Mm. I mean, on one hand, they were classified under the Therapeutics Goods Association Act, but yet they were being taxed under luxurious GST. It didn't make any sense.
How do you find the conversations around this area even now? You know, I was thinking as reading that introduction, some people feel still uncomfortable talking about this stuff. How do you find it?
Yeah, look, when I started Share the Dignity back in 2015, I read an article that talked about women not having access to period products, and I just couldn't believe that there were people out there that didn't just have period products in their bathroom. It was an exceptionally hard thing to try to navigate when nobody talked about periods. And to have, you know, to be 12 years into Share the Dignity and we've now collected more than 6.2 million period packets, what I'm most proud of is how we've navigated and shifted conversations around menstruation and menopause and all of those sorts of things that we now see easily accessible on Facebook and social media where people are actually talking about it.
What drew you to this cause, Rochelle?
Yeah, look, when I read that article that was written, it was a checkmate moment of real privilege, to be honest. I mean, I didn't grow up in a wealthy home. I grew up in a housing commission home, but I never didn't have what I needed in my bathroom to deal with my period. And I'd suffered severely with endometriosis. So for me, a period wasn't just a normal period. And I don't think that Share the Dignity would exist if actually periods weren't such a bad thing in my life. It was really reading that article and then realizing that there isn't a woman on this earth who wouldn't give another person in a bathroom a pad or a tampon should she call out, even though you won't see her face. So I thought, you know what, let's just tell everybody in Australia that this problem is happening, because I just didn't believe that women wouldn't give to make sure that another woman wasn't going without period products.
Has there been a view from some people in Australia that it's a problem that's elsewhere? I know reporting on stories in places like India and various parts of Africa that once girls reached that certain age and those products weren't available, it wasn't that they would stop going to school a few days a month. They would stop going to school full stop. It can have catastrophic consequences. Here in Australia, what do we know about it, what it means for girls at school, women in work? What can happen when they can't afford to deal with this?
Yeah, absolutely. We bring about a survey called the Bloody Big Survey. Of course it's called that, right? And it was astonishing because in 2021, we did our very first survey. And in that survey, we had 125,000 responses. It was the biggest body of data ever in the world. What we found out was that one in five in Australia have been through period poverty. And what that means is that you're unable to afford to be able to manage your period with dignity. So people were leaving tampons in for too long or cutting a pad in half. You know, that's an extraordinary number. That number has never been measured in Australia or around the world. So in 2024, we brought about the survey again. We do it every 3 years. The number stayed the same, unfortunately. But what we saw was that 73% of girls in university were unable to afford period products and would miss out on university and many dropping out. Like, it changes the trajectory of people's lives. And back in 2016, I created the world's first vending machine to dispense free period products. We now have 1,400 of those around Australia, but you can also see that in Victoria, they've rolled out 1,500 vending machines around. They are now providing free access to period products. But back in 2017, we installed our very first vending machine into a public school in Hampton Park East in Victoria. And one girl, Sarah, she came up to me after and said, "Oh, I wish that this machine was here a couple of weeks ago. I had got my period unexpectedly and I bled on my uniform and on the chair and I was so embarrassed and the boys were laughing at me. I went home and text my mum and my mum called and said, I don't get paid till Thursday, Sarah." So Sarah, this was Tuesday morning. Sarah missed 2.5 days of school that month, and that was not an abnormal occurrence that we were hearing from girls around Australia. It was just exceptionally hard to measure the problem because nobody would talk about it.
Rochelle, tell us about the scale of the distribution of these period products now across the country. How big has this operation got from this initial reading an article, getting an idea and deciding to do something?
Yeah, look, when I first started Share the Dignity, we collected 450 packets of period products locally in my hood of Sandgate and gave them out to five local charities. Now we have 4,500 charities around Australia. So if the products are donated in Bendigo, Brighton, Ballarat, they stay in those local areas and help the women in need. So everyone from every domestic violence service to homelessness services to, you know, those living in extreme poverty. So in March and August, our collection boxes go out around Australia in every Woolworths supermarket. People donate a packet of period products. And when I say period products, well, I'm talking pads, tampons, menstrual cup, period undies, incontinence products, and then we get them out to the local charities in need. We've now collected 6.2 million period products. And it is such a big number, but I'm talking about the fact that in August right now, we'll be in a dignity drive. We will be lucky to collect 200,000 packets of period products. And it is a big number and we're really grateful for it, but it is only enough to help 50,000 women for 4 months. Now, we had 173,000 women turn to homelessness services last year. So, you know, it's not like we're giving a woman a warm jacket and it's keeping her warm for years. This is a monthly problem. Periods don't stop when you've fled domestic violence or experiencing homelessness.
How do we make the conversations around all of this more open and something that people feel less self-conscious about so that we can get policies right and deal with, you can't address a problem that you don't feel comfortable talking about?
Yeah, that's right. At Share the Dignity, our goal is menstrual equity by 2031, and that's measurable by our Bloody Big Survey. So our Bloody Big Survey will come out again in 2027. Some of the actions that we've taken from the data in 2024 was a campaign called Bloody Good Sport. How do we make sure that every sporting organisation now provides period products in every training bag? How do we make sure that every coach is adequately educated? And I worked with the NRL, who had a 30% uptake in women and girls' participation of playing rugby league. What does a coach need to know if Ruby's dad has put his hand up to coach the under-14s, but he's never been educated? You know, in our Bloody Big Survey, 51% of women said that they didn't feel like they were adequately educated on menstruation. Can you imagine what that number is for men, for boys? So how do we adequately educate people so that we remove the shame and stigma around menstruation? So you will find on our website, we have an education hub. Everything is free to download. There is, what does a brother need to know? What does a coach need to know? What does a workplace need to know to ensure that, you know, I have said it before, I suffered severely with endometriosis. Now, throughout my working life, I think I've had about 8 operations on my uterus, and never did I ever tell a boss, not even if it was a female, about the fact that I was going in for surgeries. I think I had my appendix and my gallbladder out 8 times because I was just not comfortable having that conversation. But education will lead to women feeling safe to have those conversations.
I wanted to ask you, Rochelle, if it's okay, about your own personal life story. You've been a single mum. You've experienced domestic violence. And 16 years ago, You served a few months in prison for a fraud relating to a business matter. How have those experiences shaped you, and has that driven you to want to do something for the community?
Yeah, look, it was a really horrible time in my life. You know, I grew up in domestic violence with a brother who continuously beat me. It's the only thing I've ever known, and it's no excuses for doing the wrong thing, but going to jail and having my children taken away from me, I could have been on an island anywhere in the world, but my kids were not with me. And I feel like what I went through in those months was changed me forever, obviously. And I am who I am now, and all I strive to be is a better person every day. It wasn't the reason why I started Share the Dignity, but it certainly forges who I am and who I will continue to be, which is a better person every day.
How do you see the future for this push to have better conversations about periods and also try and get a larger number of these products out to those who need them, Rochelle?
Yeah, look, you know, whether you can deal with your period should not be part of a postcode lottery. Ensuring that we can get as many people as we can to complete the Bloody Big Survey, that data helps us work with the federal government, with state governments, with councils. Every council posts that Bloody Big Survey, gets a report that says this is what menstrual inequality looks like in your council and this is the Australian average. Here are three things that you could do to help better the women in your constituent. And why wouldn't we want to do that? This is not a Share the Dignity charity alone piece. This is about how do we make sure that as Australia is, this should not be a problem for our daughters and our daughters' daughters.
Rochelle, it's been really interesting to hear your story and hear about these efforts. Thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me on board.
Rochelle Courtenay is the founder and managing director of Share the Dignity.